Hello, and welcome to episode 34 of Two Piece Start Live. He's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We hope you enjoy the show today. Tim, are you thirsty at all?
Thirsty?
Yeah, are you thirsty?
What kind of a game are you playing with me?
You want something to drink? Just yes or no?
No,
say
I'm
yes.
Good.
Say yes.
Actually, now that I think of it, I'm a bit thirsty, yes.
All right. Trivia for two, please.
It does go well with a chicken.
I love it when I think of these things I want to do with you, and then I'm like, you know, I didn't mention that to Tim. It might have been better if we would have, like, rehearsed this or something.
But now people know that it's completely,
it's so
live.
Random. Offbeat. We're just on
that's
it.
That's why we call it 2P Start Live.
Each week, Tim and I try to stump each other on ridiculous video game trivia and determine who is currently the biggest nerd. Last week, Tim and I tied, so let's see if we can have an actual winner and a loser this time around.
Actually, I think I'm the loser because I incorrectly told you you were correct on
your
trivia.
Oh, that's right, yes.
You tricked me.
And it won't, with my
and it
words.
Won't happen, it won't happen again.
I just had so many numbers, you're like, yes.
Yes, that's... Overwhelmed.
That is the first 9 digits of pi. Oh, no.
Alright, so go for
Are
it.
Are you ready?
Action!
In the original Super Mario Bros. For the Nintendo Entertainment System, Mario's clothing changes color and becomes white and red upon collecting a fire flower. What colors does Luigi's clothing change into?
He's white. Okay, he's white and green. And when he gets a fire flower, wait, Mario changes
into white and red.
Into white and red. Yes. Okay. Oh, Luigi must be white and green with a fire flower. He must be a different color when he's normal.
I'm sorry, you are incorrect.
Ah.
The correct answer is white and red.
Same, huh?
It's the same color, yep.
Ah, man.
And I,
So he starts out white and green then.
Yes, and when he gets Fireflower, he has to change to white and red.
That's lame.
It wasn't until later that they switched it up, you know, because later on, he has blue overalls with green clothing. So then it's an easy switch to white and green.
Oh, so I was right.
No, I'm talking about like New Age Luigi,
That's what I thought you were talking about.
No, no, I clearly stated. All right, what's yours?
Delicious again, Peter.
All right, mine is a quick series of questions, and you have to guess which channel of the two I name takes up the most blocks on the on the Wii.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Let's start here. We'll start with an easy one. Dr. Mario Online RX or Dr. Mario Online RX Demo.
It would be the full version. Would be the,
yes,
the larger
but,
one.
But not by
but not
much.
Not by much. 5 blocks, people. 5 blocks.
It's 93 to 87. Yes,
right,
the real game is slightly larger.
Okay. This is review for those of you listening to the podcast regularly.
Yeah, that was just a warm-up question. All right.
Edit.
Zelda 1 for the NES. Or Kirby's Adventure for the NES?
Kirby's Adventure.
Very good. That was a little bit of a trick question, because Zelda's a bit longer, I think. But
yes.
Kirby 28, Zelda 22. All right. Everybody Votes channel or Check Me Out?
Check Me Out channel.
Very good. 90 to 54.
See, here I am. I'm just looking at it on my Wii right now. No, I'm kidding.
Darn it.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
All right, you got a couple more here.
Oh, man. This is... Oh, jeez.
I got some good ones. Mario Kart Wii channel or Wii Fit channel?
Wii Fit channel.
Very good. 106.78. Two more. Dynamite Heady for the Sega Genesis or Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo?
Dynamite Heady.
Very good. 37.29. One yes. more, and you are the champion. All right, you ready for your final question?
I'm such a nerd. I can't wait.
He's just calculating the bits and bytes in his head. All right, final question. The Internet Channel or Paper Mario for the N64?
Oh, my God. Oh, definitely. The Internet Channel? Oh, crap. I thought you were talking about the Nintendo Channel.
No. The full Internet Channel. Not the demo Internet Channel.
Right.
Because I don't have that one anymore.
I believe it's the Internet Channel.
That is incorrect.
Dang.
Paper Mario weighs in at 249. Internet, 233. Man. It's all that text.
Oh, that's close. Jeez. Yeah, I guess so.
But I got to give it to you. You got, five of them right, I think. Six of them right. Five.
I always had to think about it as far as, like, how much... how many different kinds of images there would be in it.
Yes.
Yeah. So instead, instead of length of games
seems...
and stuff like that. Like, Dynamite Heady is full of weird bosses and weird enemies that are always changing. Super mm-hmm. Mario World kind of has themes that they keep, you know, coming back to, basically. So it's no-brainer sometimes for me. But yeah, very good questions. That's good.
Yeah, that was, no, good answers. That was great.
Well, thank you.
All right, well, I think you're declared the winner this week.
Wonderful!
Yes.
Oh, boy.
My plan is successful.
Well, are you ready to mix it up a little bit, Tim?
It depends on how you'd like to mix it.
Well, it's a new segment that we like to call Ricky Ricket Remix. Each week, I dish out a video game remix favorite of mine, who it's by, and where you can grab it. This week, from the castle and fortress themes of Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island on the Super NES, comes the remix In Pieces by Palpable. Let's take a quick listen. If you'd like to add this song to your music collection, I've got a link up right now for those of you listening to the M4A version of the podcast. Otherwise, you can just head over to ocremix.org and track it down yourself. And that'll bring us to our...
topic of the week.
This week, we wanted to talk about Metal Gear Solid 4, but at the same time, we're like, you know, we really don't have much to say. I guess one thing I would like to say about Metal Gear Solid 4 is that it's clearly a quality title that is more of an art form than it is a cash cow, in my opinion.
Hmm.
And I guess that's... I'm very happy when games like that come out that are really big budget, really awesome games that someone put a lot of heart into, and they weren't just making Mario Party 9, basically, is I guess my point.
Right.
So it's definitely a game I would love to play sometime, because I've never played a Metal Gear Solid game before. So I'm looking forward to someday playing it, but of course, since it's for the PS3, I got some problems because I don't have one. I'm not looking at buying one. I really don't want to get a 360 or a PS3 until I get like an HDTV, and who knows when that'll be for me. So,
Yeah, I have played pretty much every Metal Gear Solid game, although I can't say I've beaten any of them. They're always intriguing to me, and I kind of lose it somewhere in the middle or towards the beginning, and they never really hold my interest that long. And maybe part of it's the really bizarre and convoluted storyline. I feel like you need to be really immersed in Metal Gear Solid lore to be tracking with any of the cutscenes that come up. And, you know, as this game was coming out this week, I checked a few little retrospective things out, and it's crazy how many twists and turns the series has taken with the clones of this person, and Metal Gear Solid 3 is, you know, back in the 60s, and just trying to follow the timeline alone is, like, impossible. So, I don't know, you might have a hard time jumping into this one, but I did hear a few reviews say that it stood by itself as a great game, like, it didn't leave you behind if you weren't a fan before. So I suppose they must have done a decent idea of telling a standalone story.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of games I've played where I'm not really expecting to enjoy it too much. I just buy it for kind of a certain reason. And then I kind of come to love it and its characters and its material, even without much background in it. And so I know, I feel like the same would probably happen with Metal Gear Solid 4. The question I have is, is this going to help catapult PS3 into actual, like, serious competitive territory?
Yeah, you know, I did look up a little bit of information here. Apparently, day one sales worldwide were about 1.3 million units, which is...
That's pretty insane.
Pretty decent. Yeah. 350,000 copies in Japan, over 400,000 in the Americas. That includes the bundles, so I guess there were 70,000 PS3 with Metal Gear Solid 4 bundles. 70,000 all sold out immediately. So obviously helped sales. That was never a question. I wanted to go back and compare it to, like, Grand Theft Auto 4, for instance. And just to see, you know, that was a multi-platform, so
correct.
How did it fare against that? GTA 4 sold 3.6 million on its first day.
Interesting.
And that's, again, between PS3 and 360, but certainly it helped.
Being on multiple systems.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I know the Metal Gear series has always been pretty loyal to Sony, but I wonder how much Sony had to shell out to keep them exclusive with a fairly... poor hardware sales so far, because that definitely would hurt Konami's, you know, bottom line for the game. But yeah, I think it was maybe something worthwhile for Sony to pursue. I'm assuming they paid them something to keep them exclusive, because had this gone multi-platform, you just would have seen the same thing with GTA 4, where the sales on the 360 side are double or triple the PS3 side, at least here in America.
Right.
And they would have fallen further behind, I think. But, yeah, I mean, I think the PS3's it's becoming more and more viable each day. I think it will not be considered a failure, you know, over the next couple of years. It definitely sells way better in Japan than the 360, that goes without saying. So,
right.
It just has more catching up to do here.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where things go in just a couple of years, really. See if things turn around for the PS3 or not. You know, I remember, I believe Metal Gear Solid 4 was announced in 2005, if I'm not mistaken.
Gosh.
At E3. Yes. And I remember watching the video for it, and at the end, they show, like, when it's going to be released, and it writes 2006. And then it puts, like, a little curved line around the 6 so that it became 2008. Everyone's like, oh, and then they cross it out and put a 7. They're like, oh, okay, 2007. We can wait till then. But, you know, it's like a nice way to fooling them. And, you know, and then it ended up being 2008 anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember thinking at the time, like, man, 2008, that'd be such a long time. It's going to be a long time before 2008 shows up. And here we are. You know, it's here. And
middle of 2008.
I mean, how many other games like that are we still waiting for? You know, I mean, if we knew about that game since 2005, I believe, is there anything that we know about right now in 2008 that we're still waiting for? I mean, I know, like, Final Fantasy 13 we're still waiting for, which was announced, like, around the same time.
How about Metal Gear Solid 5?
I'm
waiting for that.
Spoilers. I mean, is there any even Nintendo game that we're waiting for? Is there anything that we're waiting that far in advance for?
We're at a strange point where basically every major title that we know about, not everyone, but a vast majority that we've been waiting years on have been released, and the next, you know, big bucket full of them are going to be announced here at E3 pretty soon.
I would hope so, because I mean, I can't think of any other games coming out. I mean, besides like Mario Baseball and like Wii Music and maybe Disaster Day of Crisis, like that's it. Like, there's nothing really huge to those
well,
to me.
Yeah, I know Nintendo's got a lot of things up their sleeve, I think. They're just waiting for the right time to announce it. And
I guess the other one I could think of is Halo Wars. That's one that we're still waiting for, but not like 3 years from now, kind of waiting, obviously.
And how about the Too Human for 360? That's supposed to be coming out in the holidays. And then about 150 different guitar games are going to be released over the holidays. So yeah, they're coming. They're just. I guess we're not hyped about them yet because either information is non-existent or we haven't heard.
I think part of the thing is that when we had the new generation of consoles appear, we had promises of all these new games that would also be on those consoles. And since we're in the middle of it right now, there's not like a huge step that we're looking forward to. It's like, well, everyone got done doing everything for the next generation consoles, so now it's like playing catch up and seeing what else we can make.
Which will be an interesting next step, because really now we're a year and a half in on the Wii and the PS3 and, what, 2.5 years in on the 360. And so now all the, you know, all the first generation titles and all the games that they've been working on since the consoles were released, those are pretty much out. And so now it's like pushing the hardware,
right?
You know, make the next Zelda game that was meant to be on the Wii, that sort of thing. So it'll be interesting to see as the consoles mature a bit. So
yeah, I guess looking forward to E3 then, definitely. Definitely want to find out what's going on. Because that'll give me even more reason to go visit you for the E4All. So
that's right. We're hoping a lot of playable games at E4All that will entice Ray to come
there's
out.
No, there's no Smash Bros. This time.
I know.
So there's got to be something good or else I'm not going. No,
Maybe there's Brawl DS or something like that.
Yeah, you can have a Smash DS. Yeah.
That would work.
Like, using all the characters that we didn't get in Brawl that we wanted. Like,
right.
So that would be a cool step if you don't put it in. Anyway, I'm just okay. All right.
We're going to stop there.
Well, that'll take us. Yeah. As Tim knows, any conversation can segue into Brawl quickly and never end.
Yes. Right.
Moving on to Comic Talk. This week we had our Now You're Playing with Power comic featuring Snake and Mario, Captain Falcon, and Samus. And that was a fun comic. I spent too much time on it, but it turned out well. And, you know, and I kind of mentioned in my blurb, which is its official name, by the way, that I was worried this might be, like, the last comic with this grade of artwork. there's kind of a number of reasons for that.
One that had Brawl.
Right, one of which has had Brawl in it, and I always like to go all out on that. Another reason is because it's possible I might be, I'm hoping to get a callback from a job this week, actually.
No.
So it's possible I might get a job, I might not, who knows, but if I do, you know, it might change some things, make it a little more difficult for me to do the comic. Still gonna do the comic, though, as best I can, and I won't be able to just sit around all day Tuesday drawing Captain Falcon's, you know, buttocks. Okay, so it's gonna be a little while, but
that might be a good thing.
Might get my mind off of that for a while.
Yeah, well, it sure turned out well. I think I'm glad we sat on it till the right time. You know,
the idea originated from you suggesting, "Hey, let's show Snake throughout his games." You know, and like he's doing awesome jobs, you know, Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll have Brawl, and then it'll be all old. And eventually, you know, you wanted me to watch the retrospective stuff to kind of get an idea of what I should be drawing. And we're like, well, maybe he won't be beating people up, maybe he'll just be like really stealthy. And then he'll show up in Brawl where everyone's just beating each other up face to face, and it'll be a little different.
Yeah, then,
you know?
Then I looked up just for the heck of it as I was looking at, you know, the past of, you know, the whole history of Metal Gear Solid. I'm like, wait a second. Metal Gear Solid 3 took place in the 60s, so I can't do a timeline of Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Switch to Brawl and go to 4, so that's not going to work. So I was like, okay, I guess we can do 1, 2, and then Brawl, And then we kind of just changed that whole idea altogether.
And so for me, I knew we would have the brawl panels. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to start on that first and make it really awesome. And so I forget if I split it up into different panels or if you wanted me to split it up into... Because originally it was just going to be everyone was just beating on them at once. And
yeah, I never had the... I figured, you know what, there's no way I'm giving Ray direction on how to draw the brawl panels. So my initial thought was like, there'd be one panel with Snake... getting it from all ends, like, you know,
okay, be careful with your words there.
Three people beating him up.
Thank you.
In the same panel.
I've seen enough. And I've seen enough snapshots of him and Zero Suit Samus to know that. Yeah, go ahead.
What that meant. Okay. Anyway.
edit.
So I figured that's either one panel or 100. Ray can decide. You know.
Right.
But I, you know what, as he was doing the brawl panels, I kind of figured, you know what, this whole Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2 thing is going to be too much because he's spending so much time on the brawl stuff. So I just figured we'd make Snake kind of say, oh, let's get this over with. We need to play a real game here, mm-hmm. get into Metal Gear Solid 4. So worked out really well, I
but
think.
But before, I used to always start with panel 1, and by the time I got to the last panel, I'd be like, I want to get this over with. Like, I can see the end of the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm going to fix it right now, just, you know, throw some stuff together. But this time I started with 2, went to the end, and then went back to the first panel. And so you can tell, like, the first panel uses some reused artwork. You know, his up-close face was new stuff, but everything in the left panel is basically reused. And, like, I'm just kind of running out of steam, you know? I'm like, I've got to wrap this up. I'm losing it here, people. And so yeah, I think that's a better way to go, because then when you hit the ending, it's like, wow, it ends really well, instead of kind of fizzled out.
Right.
So I think I'm going to do more of that. The really funny thing was I normally send Tim, like, in-progress images. Like, I'll send him, like, here's what the comic is right now. You know,
that was not funny, by the way.
With colors and everything. And so I send him, sometimes I'll send him the wireframe version if I have it, if it's so awesome I don't want him to see it yet, you know. So I was like, okay, here's the wireframe.
Yeah, well, it was evident that you were spending a ton of time on, you know, the brawl panels, because there was so much going on in the wireframe. I'm like, okay, Ray, well, the last panel better not look like a stick figure or something like that, you know?
Yeah, so I sent him an in-progress image of what the last panel looked like, and here's what it looks like. Freaking stick figure.
I was like, oh, good, you know, another update from Ray. Let's see how it turns out. And that was not funny, because for just at the tiniest moment, I mean, there was no way it was real, of course, but you kind of had me for a second. It was like, oh, Ray.
And the thing for me was, I actually did have the majority of that last panel done. Like, I had Snake all drawn, so I knew what it looked like. So I'm like, I feel safe doing this stick figure wireframe thing, because I can just make it really crappy what it really is and just have him worried, but know inside it's going to turn out great. And let me just say, I really don't, I do not like drawing Snake, okay? He has way too much gear going on. He's got way too many little details. I was looking at all kinds of pictures, you know, kind of piecing together here that, okay, what's his shoulder look like? All right, got it. Draw that a little bit. Okay. You know, I got to have the arm behind his back. How would that twist? And, ugh. Sonic is
so good. Did a really good job, though.
The last
awesome.
One turned out really well. I was quite pleased. Yeah, it's, I just had to keep doing it. And yeah, good Lord. It's, that's not one of the things I want to do often, though. Like, I'm going to stick with Mario and Mii's. Okay, that's a little more manageable for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, with every great comic comes great comments, and this week's suggestion box was no different. Mine goes to Annan, who said, I've been reading this comic for a while, but this is my first post. Good job as always. We get these comments a lot where people, like, they're hiding in the shadows, reading it, not saying anything, and we know there's a lot of people of you doing that, especially for the podcast, too. Okay, well, we don't really know if people are listening to the podcast and not commenting, but I guess I hope there's lots of people listening to the podcast and not commenting, but I'm always very, you know, you guys don't have to say anything, that's fine. You can stay in your shadows, stay away from the spotlight, that's fine, but, you know, I always do like to hear from people who are like, yeah, I've been listening since day one or whatever, and it's still great. Always good to get the positive feedback, and negative feedback, too. I'm up for that.
Yeah, you know, that was actually going to be my comment of the week.
No
well.
Way.
Yes, it was.
Are you... What?
Yeah, it was.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. Out of all 57 comments we had on the comic, It was going to be Anon's two separate comments.
Okay, wait. Hold on, though. Have we ever had the same comment twice?
I don't know. That might be a first. We'll have to go back and check, I think. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But yeah, I liked his second comment saying that he started reading since the Sonic Tales, and it's the best web comic he reads. I mean, I love hearing that type of thing, you know. It really builds
up. Well, it's
a
little
ego.
Much. At that point, you're like, okay, what do you want? What do you want from me?
And then he named off like every decent web comic on the internet and said that it's better than all of those. So.
Yeah. Well, I know, you know, we're one of many comics that lots of people look at. You know, I don't consider us like the best. You know, I just consider us one of many, and there's pros and cons to everybody.
Yeah, I consider us the best.
Okay, well.
I'm just kidding.
That's great. You know, you can get the hate mail. But yeah, you know, it's great. You know, read all the other comics too. Whenever the Joystick webcomic wrap up comes up, I always look at all the comics, mm-hmm. and I actually decide which one I like the best, and I vote for it. If I think ours is the best, I vote for it. You know, but sometimes I'm like, that's hilarious. I got to vote for that one.
Yeah.
Tim, I know you don't do that. You just click.
Nope.
And press
I have an automated IP changer.
You have like a Google thing that you do.
That's right. In fact, nobody ever really votes for us except for me, so it's kind of unfortunate. But well, if I had to pick a second comment, I would go with Spook, who I think we already referred to this. But
See, I had that comment too.
No, okay. You didn't. Who mentioned the detail on Captain Falcon's buttocks is disturbing. Very disturbing.
Is it really disturbing? I mean, I never mind. I should be careful with what I say.
Well, you know, I didn't look that closely, so maybe.
I mean, you know, I did kind of a lighting effect to it, so it's not as easy to see. It's very dark.
You have to
before,
really.
I mean, it was pretty obvious before I did the lighting effects.
You have to really want to look at Captain Falcon's butt to notice it, I think. But of course, now we all have our wallpaper version, so we can get it a little larger.
In huge resolution.
Yeah, I just picked the biggest. I just picked the biggest resolution, and just centered it on my screen. So
no, I should just enlarge the picture. I should enlarge the vectors even more and just make a wallpaper of his butt.
And you have to make it a little shinier, though.
And I could leave the crack words on top.
Oh man.
And people were saying, like, why didn't he Falcon punch the dude? You know, like Falcon punch, like you missed out. And I'm like, yeah, that's what you think. But in reality, I was like, you know, it's a little overused. Like, the knee has its power, too. And, you know, you play these games enough, you fall in love with the knee. Plus, I just thought it was more dynamically more interesting to me to have his head flipping, you know, upside down practically upon impact. So,
yeah, that was cool.
Again, the segue never ends.
What's next?
It's time, Tim, for the most haunted segments of the 2P Start Life program, the dreaded Black Doom Award.
Mwahaha.
Each week, Tim and I both mention a terrible choice made related to video games in honor of the worst character Sonic Team has ever created, Captain Whisker. I mean, Black Doom.
There's a lot of worst characters that Sonic Team has ever created. Do you realize that?
Every day, man. Every day.
Well, I fear that we may have a repeat again, so I'm going to go first this time.
Okay.
I don't know that we've ever had the same Black Doom and the same Black, same suggestion box in the same podcast.
That's a good point. I don't think we've ever had one of those.
That probably hasn't happened, but I do have a backup in case we copy each other.
Because the thing is, I don't have the backup.
So, okay, you go first. It'll probably be the same, and I'll get my lame backup.
Laurent Fisher.
I don't think that's it.
All right.
Wait, well, yes, it is. That's the name of Nintendo Europe. Ah, man, I knew it.
A lot of people have heard about this, but there are a lot of people who have not. According to next.gen.biz, an interview with Laurent Fisher, who is the managing director of marketing at Nintendo of Europe, when a pertinent question about the limited Wii system memory was raised, Laurent Fisher easily slipped into talking about how, quote, geeks and otaku were the only people who want the issue addressed.
Yeah, that's probably not the best thing to say if you're the marketing director. What does a marketing director do? Let me think. Figures out how to market products, how to sell things. You don't sell things by saying that anybody who wants more space on their Wii is either a geek or an otaku, like that's basically a fanboy obsessed with something, right? So I don't know that you want to categorize your potential customers that way, or your existing customers that way, for that matter, right?
I guess for me, it's like, I'm a geek, okay? I'm just going to say it. I assume I'm a geek. And you know what? I'm not going to say he's wrong about this, okay? I think the people who really are running out of room are a bunch of geeks who buy a lot of video games on the Virtual Console. I mean, that's not too far to say that, right?
No, I mean...
I mean, how many regular people have maxed out their memory on their Wii?
Maybe not a ton.
Not a ton. But the geeks have done it. The geeks are all over that, okay? And we're the ones that are on the message boards complaining about this stuff. I mean, I'm not personally, but I do it on the podcast at least. So that's geeky enough, okay? Like, we are, you know, yeah, geeks are the people doing this, but it's like, don't shut them out, help them out. You know, it's like, hey, like, how dare you keep trying to buy stuff? You know, and not have enough room for it. Like, stop sending me your money, geeks. It's like, no, yeah. Like, you know, don't you want us helping you? Like, if you're going to say it's for geeks and otaku, then at least, like, say it with a promise of upgraded memory or something. Like, then all the geeks can rejoice.
Well, what doesn't make sense to me is these are your best customers, right?
Exactly.
We're maxing out the memory are the ones that are spending that much money on games, and probably not just Virtual Console games and WiiWare games, but they're spending a lot of money on retail games as well. Your casual gamer that everyone's, you know, obsessed with getting, which is fine, they own Wii Sports, period.
Right.
Those are the people that, or maybe Wii Fit as well, you know, like, they own two or three games that are casual-oriented. They don't buy a lot of games. They're happy to play the same thing over and over again. Why you want to alienate the people who've been following Nintendo for their entire lives, you know, 20-plus years or something, is beyond me. I mean, if they have that attitude, and I'm not saying that's widespread, but if they have that attitude in general, then they really are going to lose out on all the people who have enjoyed Nintendo over the years to the competitors, and
yeah.
That's a shame.
I mean, he did apologize for this later on, but I mean...
Yeah, but I don't even like his apology.
What was it? Do you remember?
He didn't mean to use those terms in a way to cause offense, and he regrets any misunderstanding that was created by his comments within the community.
Geez.
Okay, first of all... He didn't mean to use those terms in a way to cause offense. So in what way were those terms being used? Was it like, oh yeah, our favorite people is geeks and otaku. They're the only one. Like, is that supposed to be a praise? Some sort of praise? Because there's no way that was meant as praise. So of course he was meaning to cause offense. And there was no quote-unquote misunderstanding created by his comments. We perfectly understood his insult, right?
Yeah, so, exactly.
That I don't really like his apology either. If he had come out and said, "Yeah, I'm sorry for being a douchebag and saying something so stupid and offensive," I take.
But that's
it back.
The thing. I think, you know, I think part of him knows that he's right, though. It's for geeks and otaku, so it's like he's just saying, like, "I'm not wrong." You know, I'm just sorry. You know, it was so offensive, basically.
Yeah,
I think that's what's basically going on, which, you know, I kind of agree with him, right? I mean, I'm saying, yeah, it's us geeks. But, I mean, that's just a really bad way to apologize.
Well, either don't, you know, obviously he doesn't mean it, so don't apologize, or,
right,
you know, be sincere about it. But, yeah, that was pretty lame.
Well, we should probably move on here.
We should.
Your Black Doom.
My Black Doom. So my backup Black Doom goes to, I'm hearing a lot of different things about copycat Wii stuff, and I want to remind Microsoft and Sony that, as competitors, they don't need to copy everything Nintendo does, because then we just have three Nintendos. A few different things we heard about this week. One is the rumored break-apart PS3 controller, motion controller, that's supposed to, you know, take on the Wii Remote in some fashion.
Right.
You heard about that?
Yes. I heard about the rumors, yeah.
You know, not that you can't do that. It's been done before, actually,
right.
PS2 from a third party. But it's like, first you came out with a crappy 6-axis, right? And said that Rumble,
Rumble
is the last generation feature. And then you come back with the DualShock 3. And now you're going to come out with a third one? Like, how many controllers are you going to ask people to buy before this console goes out of date, you know?
Like, we've heard people want Waggle, so we've included it.
Yeah, you know, they got their 6-axis thing going on, so that... I don't know, you can't be
That's
both.
Not really Waggle, though.
No, it's just tilt, but...
Right. Yeah, you need to have the actual Waggle sensor. It's a patented thing.
But see, Nintendo's got the whole package, right? They have the cheap console with the casual, you know, casual gamer-friendly games and system. Like, it makes sense. PS3 is like the hardcore system, right?
Yeah.
I know they're going after, in some fashion, the casual
Blu-ray.
Gamers.
Yeah,
And the Blu-ray crowd, you know. So I can see them cornering niches here, but... You know, I don't know. I don't know they need to reinvent the controller again after they just released the DualShock.
Right.
The other things were, you know, Activision's coming out now apparently with a balance board for the 360 and the PS3 for their Tony Hawk games. That's...
Focus, people. Focus.
I just don't need this many peripherals sitting around my house. I think, you know, between Rock Band... You know, and your Guitar Hero games, and the Wii attachments, the wheel, and the zapper, and the balance board. And now Namco's doing, like, the Power Pad remake type of thing. Have you seen that? It's kind of like a Dance Dance Revolution mat, but it's...
Right.
It's for running and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. There's too much.
They just... it's just frustrating because I understand what's happening. You know, they're seeing so much of the casual market just eating up with the Wii that they want in on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to branch out, but at the same time they're branching out, they're losing their focus, and they're just making it seem like they're being desperate. And it's just really hard to watch for me. It's like, you know, just let the Wii do its thing. And if you want to try the same thing, just one-up it next generation, okay? You know, make a console that has all the same kind of technology, but way better with lots of new things. Instead of like, well, we're going to add a motion sensing controller to an already existing console and, you know, start making a few games for it. It's like, you got to just go all out with it. You need to kind of pick your direction you want to go and do it.
Well, it's always obvious that the effort was just not there when, you know, the Johnny-come-latelys come in with... Like, oh, let's jump on this bandwagon and just come out with something real quick, you know? Let's do a Wii
right.
Ski or a Battle of the Bands by THQ or, you know, whatever. It's just never going to be quality. So just if you're really that resolved to get into that market segment, then spend the time and do it right, you know? And don't just dilute the market with more crap. So the last thing I saw was now... Microsoft is implementing an avatar system. Basically, they're Mii's, but they're much more detailed and a lot more customization.
They're going to replace the gamer tag.
Well, I'm sure it'll be attached to your gamer tag, and that's not a bad idea.
No, it's not bad at all.
I wouldn't mind seeing it coincide with some sort of dashboard update, like I mentioned last. Week to just be a little more user friendly altogether, and it seems different enough, or you know they're not completely copying the Mii characters, maybe a little more flexibility, but
But you know why they're doing it. I mean,
oh,
it's
of course.
Clear.
It's like, well, the, you know, PS3 has the home. Nintendo's got the Miis. It's like they have to get in on that, you know?
Yeah, there's people love it, too. I mean, people love Miis and stuff. I mean, it's very enjoyable. And, you know, I mean, Nintendo is not the first person to do this sort of thing. But it's the first person to do it for, like, a full console, as, like, a console feature.
Yeah.
And people are finding that's a lot of fun to use those, to use a console feature across a range of video games. So they want to get in on that. And, yeah, it's just kind of like you're late to the party, people. You're late.
The one thing that might be nice on something like that is the amount of detail is such that maybe the avatar characters won't seem as out of place as Miis would in different games, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, Miis have a very distinctive, simple style. So they do fit in the Mario... They fit fine in Mario games, you know? But I don't see a lot of third-party companies implementing Miis in their games because it's hard to match that style to other things, so...
Well, I mean, it's kind of like Zwinky. Get Zwinky?
Don't know what you're talking about.
You ever seen that? You ever seen the commercials? Like, get Zwinky. You can be anyone, anything. It's hilarious.
Are the girls ready yet?
Nah, they're getting Zwinky with it.
That's right.
Get Zwinky.
You can be anyone. You can be your true self or someone else just for fun.
Get Zwinky.
You can wear anything. Leather pants, cool shoes, spike your hair, fat bling.
Get Zwinky. Get Zwinky. Get Zwinky. Get Zwinky.
Yeah, Zwinky.com here, I think. You can see a picture, but yeah, it's like customizing your own little person, pretend you're somebody else. People like to do the fantasy thing with that.
Right. Well, I think that just about does it.
Yep, that'll do it for this edition of 2P Start Live. Join us every Wednesday for a brand new comic, and every Monday for a brand new podcast, just like the one you heard here, except better, hopefully. With that, he's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We will see you next week. Yeah, because when Tim first gave the idea, the idea originated from the oh my gosh, Ray, seriously, how many times can you say that? Let's take a quick listen. God, freaking okay. Let's take a quick listen.